Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and we are at the Columbus Arts Council in Columbus, Mississippi, Possum Town. And I'm very happy that Salem opened up the doors. Art in action. We're trying to shake some things up around here in Columbus, and I have a, what would be the best way to say, a virtual reality artist? Mm-hmm. That would be good. That'd I have Miss Allie Simpson here with me. We're both small town folk, and we're here in the big city of Possum Town. So, Allie, just a little bit about you. Where are you from, and tell me a little bit about growing up.
I grew up in Reform, Alabama, raised on a farm pretty much. We grew 800 to 1,000 tomato plants per year. And then I graduated from Gordo High School, moved here in 2014 to go to the W to pursue music therapy, found theater. Went to school for 5 years, and I said, nah, I'm good. And so I dropped out.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. So quick synopsis. Music therapy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, music therapy was actually fantastic. It's just taking music and, like, I've seen amazing things, like people with Alzheimer's just, like, remember words again or remember songs from, like, something they haven't talked about in years, and it's just a very beautiful thing to watch.
I've went to this place once. It's called The Well Frequency. Mm-hmm. It's in Starkville, and I think Mississippi State is actually looking into it now. And so what it is a room about this size in comfortable chairs. And when I went in there the day, this lady who had dementia, and she come in there, and it was a really bad case. And she would just moan constantly. And she would get in there in this room. In the middle of this room was a huge vase with water, with gold leaflets and rose petals, and the water was tuned to a frequency. And so I don't, and also you would be drinking water, which was supposedly tuned to that same frequency. I don't know if it's so much with the water itself, mm-hmm. but I do think there is something to frequencies and sounds that mm-hmm. Do provide some kind of a healing. So I can definitely see that. And even today, as far as we are with podcasting, ASMR, mm-hmm. it does soothe people. It helps them to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I think we have come a long way with sound as technology gets better.
Absolutely.
So what about while you were in school? What were you into?
When I was in school, I was mostly into I was dual enrolling at Mississippi State and the W because at the moment my focus was flute to become a flautist.
Did you do band in high school?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I was a majorette from 6th grade to 11th grade, and then my senior year I was drum major for marching season. Nice. Went to Allstate, did all the things. It was really fun. I really miss it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of friends that came from, like, the music background, and I sleep on them, man. Like, and then, you know, they pick up their instrument and kind of blow you away, but it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, they spent, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 years, like, primarily focused on the instrument. Of mm-hmm. course, they're going to be just amazing at it. So with virtual reality art, how did you get into that?
So virtual reality, I got into it when when I heard of this game called Beat Saber coming out, because of all my game of choice has always been rhythm-based games like DDR or The Nintendo one where you play the drums and tap on the things, just or Guitar Hero. Those have always been my favorite to play. So when I heard about this dancing game where you hit arrows with lightsabers to the beat, I was just like, heck yeah, let's go. Uh-huh. And it was back whenever I was working at Replays. Rest in peace. A PSVR came in, and it was when PSVR first came out, and so we got it. I got to experiment with it. We played Beat Saber and another game called Super Hot. Super Hot was really interesting because the way that that game does is time moves when you move. It's these little red guys in a white room, and say they shoot a bullet at you. The bullet doesn't move until your head or your arm, and so you can, like, slowly, it's like the Matrix. You're in the Matrix the entire time, just dodging and, yeah. But then I got to upgrade to an Oculus Rift 2. The PSVR, while it was a good VR system, there were a bunch of bugs because it focuses and tracks you by lights of the controllers in your hand and the lights on the headset with a camera on wherever you have the camera set up. And sometimes the tracking isn't great. Like sometimes your arm could be up here and your hand's halfway across the room in game. So the lights have to be a certain thing, or if someone stomps and it shakes, your vision will go all over the place. But the Oculus Rift, I prefer it because, one, it's wireless. The other one was connected to the PS4 by, I would say, a 10-foot cord.
It's kind of limited on mobility.
Definitely. And the cord definitely got in the way whenever you're trying to do stuff. But the Oculus Rift, it does its tracking by cameras. It has, I think, 4 cameras built into the headset, and it kind of tracks, like, your room, like, you... So when you enter the Oculus, it lets you draw out your play area. So I would make a square or a circle, or I would draw my play area in my room. And the great thing about that, especially for the Oculus, if you begin to walk out of your play area or someone comes into your play area, your headset will give you a warning, and the game will, like, kind of turn transparent, and you can see what's in front of you and what you're about to hit in the real world.
And that's nice because, like, you know, Chive TV or anything like that, and all the heads, you know, the VR fails to where someone just decks somebody.
Or my favorite one is when they're doing the one where you're on a plank just looking down and they end up just falling headfirst into a wall.
But anyway, just back to the setup. I'm sorry, interrupting you.
No, it's fine. Let me see, tracking by that. So when you go in, the tracking's a lot better. Like when your hand goes up, your hand goes up, your hand goes down, and the controllers are a lot more comfortable. For example, the PSVR remote controls were like 2 sticks, I would say about a dollar coin in diameter with 2 big light bulbs at the top. So like when it didn't get very comfortable a lot of the times, it would be irritating. But on the Oculus Rift 2, it has a circle at the top and then a handle. So you can hold it like this, or you can slip your fingers through the circle and hold it like this to get more mobility in certain things. But yeah. And then the game that I found on there, I downloaded Beat Saber again because I'm addicted like that. And I downloaded a horror game called Down Below. And that horror games in VR is something I do not mess with anymore. Too scary.
Things are nightmares, huh?
Oh yeah.
I've messed with like virtual reality, the headset, I think 2 times, and both times. And my buddy was telling me, he's like, you just need to like keep doing it because I was getting like motion sickness.
Yes. There are certain games that try to get rid of motion sickness. Because if you do have motion sicknesses, like the games, like you're going on roller coasters or you're running away from stuff, will probably make you motion sickness. But they have something called smooth turning. So like you would just slowly and smooth turn in on your screen, or you can where it blacks out where you turn, stop that motion sickness from going. Same with walking from point A to point B. You can either just walk by moving the analog stick, or you can teleport. And if you have motion sickness, it might be easier for people who have motion sickness to teleport or use the teleport method.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're constantly improving this. And
yes, working on it.
So what about when it came time for you, like, with virtual reality and art? How did that come together?
Well, I've always been painting throughout my life, but it's kind of been like, just dibble-dabbling, but in theater is where I really found my love of art, is because I was really going to be a set painter and a set designer. Shout out to David Carter from the MUW Theater Department. but it's because we used to do just sets on a large scale, and it was just so much fun. And then on the Switch, they had a drawing app come out, and that's where I discovered digital art. But it still wasn't, like, connecting, because I'm so used to doing things on a large scale. Doing something on a tiny Switch screen was kind of difficult. But then I was going through the apps on the Oculus, and the one that I still use is called Painting VR. I entered it, and I fell in love. What it is? Like, so when you enter, you are in the skate park. And I would say the skate park is, it looks about as big as about half a football field. And you can set up your canvas wherever you like. And it is also 2D. It's not 3D. So you're painting on a 2D canvas. You can place the canvas anywhere you would like, and you can scale it to make it as large as the sides of a building, so you can get the tiniest of details. Or you can just make it super small. There's spray painting, there's markers, there's regular paint, but it focuses mostly on acrylic-based.
So, yeah, that's cool. And so it is, I mean, it's basically like in the skate park, it's virtual reality and you're there. And so, like, attention to detail, like going back to stage design, is like you can kind of really dig into what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. I've seen some of the work. Like, is, like, for people interested, is there an Instagram or any platform where you, like, post what you work on?
There is. The main one that I post my art on whenever I'm happy with one is AllyL14 on Instagram. I think it's AllyELLE, and if it's not, I have green hair. You'll find me. So, yeah.
Cool. I saw recently that you and I had an interest in the same game, and it is no longer available, so Overwatch.
I mean, it's still available, but it's not the same. It's not what they promised. Sorry, I get very petty about yeah. Overwatch 2.
Yeah, I was introduced to that game. A friend of mine down in Mobile, he's a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Johnny. So when I would go down there to hang out for the weekend, we would spend a lot of time playing Overwatch.
Who'd you main?
I can't remember the cat's name, but the Asian guy who had the special ability with the dragon.
Oh, Hanzo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I think Rocket or Rat Boy or...
Junkrat.
Junkrat.
That was my boy.
Yeah. And so, which one... Was it Junkrat that, like, people would get upset with? Is like, you were using him? One of them was like...
Hanzo, people would get mad. Genji, people would get really mad, because it's fair. 75% of the Genjis I played with were trash.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's always funny. Like, that was a very unique game because, I mean, it really, you know, it was a lot different than other shooters because, like, you had all these unique characters and they had their own abilities. And it was so what? Like, you had the tankers and...
Mm-hmm. And the fact that they even went through the trouble of releasing a side series with it, like the mini series that they have on YouTube about all the characters and all the background of everything, it was just such a beautiful world. I mean, it still is, but they made a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard good and bad things about Overwatch 2. I myself haven't got to play it yet. I'm waiting until I get feedback from a couple of my friends.
Before you dive in there?
Before I dive in there. It's the main thing that's getting me is the Battle Pass. Usually with free games, the Battle Pass is usually cosmetic. What I really don't like about it is that they put in a character in the Battle Pass. So you can't get the character unless you buy the... And the character's not in the beginning of the Battle Pass. It's at the end.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's that pay-to-play crap.
I would have preferred just to put $60 down on Overwatch 2 on a brand new game than this.
Do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I wanted to have a little fun with you. So pick one of your TED Talk topics.
Ooh. I was actually talking to my boyfriend about this. I was just like, who do you think I could talk more about, Rhea Ripley or Bray Wyatt? I'm going to have to go with Bray Wyatt.
All right, lay it on me.
All right. So Bray Wyatt has been a part of the WWE for a long time, but he has always been a part of the what I call supernatural crew. And what I mean by supernatural, I put Undertaker into the same era, into the same category. Because,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So when I first figured out, found Bray Wyatt, he was a part of something called the Wyatt family. It was of three members, four members, my apologies, Braun Strowman, Luke Harper, Bray Wyatt, and then Eric Rowan. They all wore sheep masks. They were all pretty much just like a hill, kind of like a redneck cult that worshipped this witch called Sister Abigail, which was also his finisher, which was great. And his thing was that he was always creepy, had a lantern, and his fans was called Fireflies. Well, when that faction broke down, he then got to pair with Matt Hardy of the Hardy Boys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Delete. Yeah. They had the whole World Ender thing, and it was a beautiful thing to see him as a face for a little bit. For those who don't know, in wrestling, heel means bad guy, face means good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great seeing him for a face for a little bit. Well, then he disappeared again. And then here comes, like, my favorite portion of his career. He came back as the Fiend, but the way he came back, it started with a kids show. Like, he had a nice little ditty, and he had puppets like Mercy the Buzzard, Abigail the Witch, which ties back to Sister Abigail. But he was just like, hi, kids, and it was all super nice and fun, but had a very creepiness to it. Like, he would mm-hmm. take one of the puppets and rip its head off and bash the crap out of it all the time. And he showed his face. Well, he got the same person that made Michael Myers' mask. I think it was either Michael Myers' mask or the guy that worked on Freddy Krueger's prosthetics, but they got him to make him a mask for something called The Fiend. The Fiend is what all the puppets feared, and the show was in something called Purgatory
mm-hmm.
because he died, and he was stuck in Purgatory, and the Fiend was like his evil self. It was just so fun. And he was just a mass of nature that Vince McMahon ruined.
Yeah, that is, when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling. So my mother was not a fan and she didn't want me watching it. And so, but I, you know, if I was over at a friend's house, if they were into it, we would watch it, you know. And so, guy who frequently comes on the show, shout out to Brother Cap, is a huge wrestling fan. And, you know, we get to hanging out, and, you know, after we get done doing the cast, what we do? Put on wrestling. And, you know, he's been to Raw and WrestleMania. I mean, he's went to some of the cool events and all that.
Goals.
Yeah. And, like, that is really his complaint. Like, we watched NXT a lot, which is somewhat ruined right now. Now, Ricochet was somebody that I was really, really liked on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when he crossed over to the big stage with WWE, like, I still liked him because I'm a sucker for high flyers.
Yeah.
And he can flip.
And they just buried him.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, once again, Vince McMahon is just like, these characters, like, I mean, what you're talking about, I mean, this is like the Hardys.
Yes.
I like the when the crazy one. Is it Ben? No, it's not Ben.
Crazy one.
Came back. He was nutty as a fruitcake. That was his. He was a heel.
He was a heel. What year? Around what time era are we talking?
Oh, this is maybe a year ago.
Oh.
And I think he would kind of fall into that almost supernatural. With the persona that he was carrying.
They kind of tried to do, like, a retribution style with Mustafa Ali that did not work out very well.
Yeah.
But I can't remember his name.
But he really, like, AEW, I was a huge fan of what they had going on over in Japan. That's where...
New Japan Wrestling?
Yeah. I mean, that's where the Supernatural, long-haired guy from Georgia, I'm blanking on his name. AP? No, not AP. He held the belt for a while.
Oh, you're talking about Kenny Omega?
No.
No?
Not Kenny Omega. But he was a face forever, and mm-hmm. recently they brought him out as a heel, and like everybody was like, he is not a heel. Like, AJ Styles.
Yeah!
And so I went back and I've been checking out like his old stuff because he got found because of what he was doing over in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then he finally got brought back over here to America, and it was like Georgia Boy, rose up, got the belt. And I was a huge fan of his for a while. And let's see. There was another cat that rose up out of NXT. But like from, I think the heyday, you know, it definitely was like going back to probably when we were kids, mm-hmm. like the 90s, maybe early 2000s. Like that was it.
Everyone says the Attitude Era was the best.
Yeah.
One thing I do like to say now, and the reason why I stopped watching for about a year because I was tired of like the storylines not connecting. Vince coming to the day of Raw and be like, scrap everything, or taking the people who had such a rise and just tear them down for Charlotte Flair. Anyway, I do not like Charlotte Flair. But ever since he was forced to retire and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon run it, and Triple H and Shawn Michaels now run creative, it's been a complete 180. Like, I watched Extreme Rules last Saturday, and it is the best pay-per-view I've seen in years.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those guys doing it. I think they got a great opportunity with it. And even, like, you know, I'm a music fanatic, and I think about Smashing Pumpkins. You know, front man for them, Billy Corgan, mm-hmm. Wrestling fanatic. And he buys and invests in his own league, and he starts doing it. But it never really picked up. And I can't even remember the name of the league. But I thought he had a really good plan. I just don't think he had enough money to, like, do what he wanted to do as far as, like, the production.
I agree.
And that's one thing that, you know, for outside looking in, it's like, when you tell a wrestling fan, I don't watch it, it's fake. It's like, yeah, everybody knows it's entertainment.
Yes.
It's not like, but again, like, you know, let me do one of the moves on you and you tell me if it's fake. I mean, there is some realness to it.
That's what I always tell people. And I'm like, look, yes, it's fake, but do you have any idea how hard it is to do what they're doing safely? Like, for example, sorry for spoiler alert, but Extreme Rules, there's a spot where Beth Phoenix's head was on a chair on the ground, and Rhea Ripley slammed a metal chair directly on top of her head. From what I hear, there's no concussions. There were no, like, blunt force trauma. Like, they did that mm-hmm. safely, and I'm just sitting here watching it over and over and over. It's just like, how?
Yeah. And even, like, you know, back to the Attitude Era, when they used to would take the razor blades and, like, you know, just tiny little slits.
Or Mick Foley falling from the steel cage of the tacks. That wasn't safe, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even, even though I didn't get to watch it, Sting was my favorite when I was a kid. You know, he would calm down.
Do you know he still wrestles?
I haven't seen him in a while.
He is in a company called AEW.
Oh, he's in AEW. I haven't seen him in there.
He's been in AEW for the past, like, 2 years. And actually, his buddy, I don't remember his name. It starts with an M. He used to be in WWE, and his famous thing was the Poison Mist. He came back and wanted to wrestle with Sting one more time before he retires. And then Sting's in his 70s, and he's still going through tables.
Yeah.
Just like I tell Ric Flair, stop it. Because Ric Flair had his last wrestling match ever like a couple of weeks ago, or it might have been like 2 months ago, with Andrade, which is his son-in-law, and the poor baby was all bruised, battered, and bloody, and now he's over here starting a bunch of businesses mm-hmm. on the side, even kind of trying to step on a Snoop Dogg's business for a little bit, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. All right. To bring it back to Possum Town for a minute, I wanted to shift the conversation because the princess is back.
Yes, it is.
And I was so happy about the reopening. It's always been a fun place to hang out, shoot pool, sit out on the deck. How long have you been involved at the princess?
I have been
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Involved in the princess, I think since December of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been there hot.
Yeah, I think that's where we met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like since it's come back, like it's a historical building. It's the old Princess Theater,
mm-hmm.
which I recently learned this building this used to be called, I think, the Alabama Theater.
Really?
This used to be a theater.
Hmm.
And then, so like, the princess came, and like, there's this old, this lady, she come in here, and she was telling me this one day. She came into the art council, and like, she does, I'm not on TikTok, but like, she does a TikTok of Columbus history. And she's walking around, and she'll stop at a building, and then she'll bring up like these old photos and like the history of it. And she was like, well, let me give you the scoop on this building. And I was like, well, this is really interesting stuff. I mean, you're kind of like just a local historian that just knows a whole awful lot,
mm-hmm.
like a walking history book. But what's the main appeal or draw to the princess, in your opinion?
The main draw to the princess, in my opinion, it's just home. It feels like home. Like, that's one thing I've heard from a lot of people, is that they walk in, they feel safe, they don't have to worry about being bothered or anything, because they know the bartenders have their back, and it's just a place where you can just come and relax, sing some good karaoke.
Yeah, and that's where we're at right now. As far as events, like, it's karaoke every night?
So what we do right now, we do karaoke every Friday and Saturday starting at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But if you would like to do karaoke on any other day, we're open from 7 to 1 a.m. You just have to bring in a group of four or more, let the bartender know and what time you would like to start, and we'll get the party kicking.
Right on. And what about any other events, or is like, can you speak on like maybe the future of what William is thinking?
I can't speak.
As far as a vision?
I can't speak too much, but what I can say is that we have been doing work in the theater portions. Like, we got some brand new railings. We've been getting the, we've been trying our best to possibly, bless you, darling.
Mercy.
Go down the wrong pipe.
That ice is melted, and that one just decided to go down.
Wee. Anyway.
Yeah, right down the slide.
So, but we are actually trying and working with Salem right now to possibly get movies shown. Now, it will not be like a brand new movie theater. We would not be showing the newest stuff. We're just going to be picking movies that we believe is best for the public. I don't know what all that entails, but we are doing our best to get the theater back open.
Yeah, so, and I, not to speak too much on the film, but I've seen, like, the film of question. And to give y'all, I'm not going to tell you the name of the film, but it is a rather old film. And so, if y'all remember, James Franco did a movie called The Disaster Artist. And it was made, like, a redo of an old film called The Room, right?
Yeah.
Cult classic. And so the vision, and I'm not speaking for Salem or William, but like what I'm gathering, and it's kind of exciting, is like this old film and the way that they're doing it and the way that they're putting it together, this could become like a cult kind of thing. Like, we just show old cult classics like this, because I don't think this is like, this movie's like from the 50s, and I think it's a silent film.
I think so too. I'm not 100% sure though.
And like, to do it around Halloween, because it is a spooky movie,
mm-hmm.
I think it'd be fun for the community.
Mm-hmm. And then we've also been talking about like showing a more like Disney or Pixar movie for little ones, for the little ones as well.
Yeah. And that was one thing I remember. Just back when I was a teenager and early 20s, there has been a lot of great shows in that theater. And I'm just glad that the space is, you know, mm-hmm. renovating and getting it up to go, and like, we're going to use that space.
Mm-hmm. It's actually being used once a month right now by the library's anime club. Last Friday, nice. They watched Death Note.
Oh, great.
They're
great
going
film.
Through Death Note this month. So they go there, I think, once a month. I think they're meeting there, I think, next week? to continue their series of Death Note. But if you like anime or manga, join that club and come watch anime, because it's a bunch of fun.
Yeah. Something that is growing, and I'm hoping now that, like, you know, we got the pandemic behind us and getting a little bit of normalcy. I thought that the Comic Con that we had here back in, like, was it 2019 or 2018?
Oh, talking about the mini con we had at the Den. Were you there?
Yes, I was there.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was dressed as Urza Scarlet.
I went normal. I think I had left work to be there, but I was just glad that we had it because I've been to a few. They're fun. And
that was my first one.
And I think the culture's here, man. Like you said, we used to have replays. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ran into a lot of people that were into that there. And so hopefully more stuff like that kicks around, and we can keep on building these communities. Like, and I'm really thankful that, I mean, you came on the show, and, like, we're talking about, you know, video games, whether it's, you know, virtual reality or whatever else. Is these things are growing. And I've got a question for you. Mm-hmm. I think you've been playing with this like I've been playing with this. Have you been playing with artificial intelligence? This is kind of funny. It's called this. It goes back to Aliens, but facehugger.io.
Yeah.
To where you just tell it to draw something.
Yeah.
And it's the thing of nightmares most of the time. It's like I want to see Mark Zuckerberg working at McDonald's. Or you just, you know, whatever. Like, and granted, like, you wouldn't be able to type in, like, I want to see Alan Aldridge as a trapeze swinger. But not famous enough. It's not going to know what I look like. There was an Alan Aldridge. He was a famous artist, so maybe he could be walking on tightrope while he's painting. I don't know. But a lot of times, it's like the thing of nightmares. But an interesting question, and I got the spinning wheel of death, was draw me what you think about. It was just spinning. I was like, come on, AI. Give me a little look inside here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you messed with it at all?
I have not got messed with it that way. I will now. Because, like, I've definitely played around with just, like, because there was one that I had, you just typed in a word and, like, the type of art that you wanted, whether it be, like, traditional or oil, etc. And sometimes, and what it also did, you had to, unfortunately, insert a picture of, like, whether it be you or a mountain or a cat. Like, I did one of my cat, and so I picked, let's say I just put love and I put in cyberpunk. It will transform that picture into, like, a cyberpunk area to where you can still kind of see what the picture you put in the background is, and it's pretty neat. But you can't tell what half that stuff is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got a long way to go. And just with everything that we're doing with AI, whether it be, you know, in cars or now, I mean, AI has made its way into art. Mm-hmm. It's also, AI is capable of composing music. I've listened to some of it. I think it might be something. I think it could go to pop, like synth pop. It could go to R&B or hip-hop.
I think AI would have the best, will probably make really good dubstep.
That too. That too. Yeah, absolutely. And so, AI is invading the arts.
It is.
I am by no means afraid of it all. I do believe, like, you know, just going back to virtual reality artists, I think it's really interesting because, I mean, like you said, like, you like working on big projects, and so you can really fine-tune, and, you know, maybe I don't get the mural on the side of this building, but I can go in this virtual reality and I can come up with something really interesting and play with it. And so, like, as far as, like, medias, just to go back to that, is it oils, anything that you want to use?
What I use in the VR, because the VR, painting VR one that I use, it focuses mostly on acrylic, but it also has, like, one spray can that you can change colors of. So it mostly focuses on acrylic. But one reason why I really like this is because whenever you download your paintings and you look at them, it actually has the texture of canvas on it. Exactly. Because a lot of digital art, you don't get that. And sometimes I kind of want that because it gives it that more just artsy feel.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I also like about it, too, is that once I'm done with it, yes, no one can have the original, but I will always have, I can make as many prints. People can make it their phone screen, their lock screens, or anything. It's just easy. But also another qualm about it is that people can take my art.
Yeah.
Easy, and they can claim it as
what
theirs.
What if you watermark it?
I've started watermarking it, and what I do, I hide tomatoes, because Tomato Alley, I love tomatoes. So I usually hide a tomato somewhere in there, and usually try and hide my signature somewhere in there, but yeah. I'm working on watercolor.
Even with, like, I've used Excelius Art here in town. He designed a poster for a festival that I threw. And he does a lot of his media off the iPad. And I think, you know, iPads and, like, being able to... But like you said, you don't really have the texture, but you can come up with some really,
really
cool designs.
Stuff.
And I'm working on putting together the second Porch Talk record. And shout out to Megan Elaine out of Quebec, Canada. She's a digital artist. And, I mean, the art's ready, and she did it all on the iPad, and it's just, it's stunning. To where we are right now with mm-hmm. that, and I cannot wait to see the future of, like, VR. Because mm-hmm. You know, at the time you said 2D right now, mm-hmm. just wait till it's 3D, right?
Well, hold on. That's actually what I was about to get to. There's actually a lot of different ones. Like, Google has one called Tilt Brush, and it is 3D. But it has more of like the 3D printer look of it. So when you paint, it's not just a straight line. It's kind of like more of you're painting with ribbons. But it also has like special effects like lights, sparkles. So yeah, you could pretty much paint the world around you in there. And then there's also something called Quill. It does kind of the same thing, but this one is actually an animation helper. So you can make 3D animations in that one. With your own mind. And then we got King Spray Graffiti. That one is 2D. It is spray paint. That goes on graffiti art, hence the name. Then we got Sculptor VR. That is with sculpting in, like, VR. So you can, like, make vases, or you can actually, like, start carving stuff on some of the walls and other things that it has. And then last one is Vermilion. That one is a 2D sitting painting game, because in a lot of these you can stand or sit. Mm-hmm. But in this one, it is an oil-based, to where you can just bring the canvas directly in front of you, have all your oil paintings and a little Bob Ross tutorial on your
left. Yeah. I mean, that would bother me.
Right?
We'll put a little, nice little waterfall over here.
Happy little trees.
Yeah.
Have you seen that TikTok of the guy painting angrily? He's like the anti-Bob Ross. He was like, we're going to put this yellow. As he's painting it.
I've got to check that out. That's great. I've seen a lot of great parodies on YouTube. Bob Ross, don't worry, it's fine. And it's just, it cracks me up, especially it's like, the anti version of it, so I've got to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
What about like claymation? Is there any kind of like, can you start like developing like almost like maybe you could almost get to a point where you're making a music video with the art?
Possibly, because on Meta, I hate that they changed Oculus to Meta when mm-hmm. Facebook bought it, but Meta has actually been working to where you can even have, like, business meetings over VR, to where you don't even have to leave your house and it can be countries away, because there's already places to where, like, I sometimes go to ChatVR. It's just this free little thing. There's kids everywhere, but they have some really cool rooms. Like, there's a karaoke room. You can just join in, and there's 100 different people. You just pick a song, wait your turn, and then sing karaoke with everyone. Or there's, if you enter the metaverse, I think that's what they call it, they have, like, rooms you can watch a movie, like a movie theater. It's like you're sitting in the movie theater watching a movie with your best friend right there. Yeah, except you're all, like, in the little people. It's,
yeah. And I heard they're getting legs soon.
Hey!
Legs are coming soon because it was just upper body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which just it was literally just like the little me's from the Wii just going around.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, like, just how far virtual reality is going. And I'm thinking this, and it may already be the case, but let's say, and you did say that, you know, people could, you know, just steal your art. But I could imagine, especially when it comes to that sculptor, it's like, let's just say in the virtual reality, you got the virtual home and someone was really into your stuff. They could, because I know there's going to be some kind of token or currency, and, like, they could pay you in virtual currency, and, like, they could buy your art and, like, put it in their virtual
yes.
home.
Yes, absolutely, because games already do that. Like, my friend's been playing this game called Starship Galactica. It's been in, like, alpha for, like, 10 years. But people pay $600 US for a ship.
Wow.
For a ship to play in a game. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
Give it to me. But...
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of opportunities because, like, for example, Discord. People pay Discord a good amount of money to create Discord pages for them. So it's definitely, I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm. I need to find those people. We've had my Discord is dead.
Minus two.
We got 7 people in there, and we get rowdy. But, mm-hmm. Or as rowdy as you can on Discord. But, I don't know. Like, I get on some people's Discords, and it's like, you know, they'll live stream their podcast, and that's where they're getting the chats from. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I'll do a super chat off YouTube, but mainly it's the fellas in Discord, and they're holding it down.
Yeah, like all the mods, the robots. Like, I play D&D on Discord with one of my, that's where I play most of my D&D. It was a Pokemon one, and he had a bot to where, like, we can put in, like, a number 5 times per day, and it's like, here's the random Pokemon you caught today. And I'm just like, how did you do that?
Yeah. I used to play Diablo 2.
Oh, yeah.
And got connected, you know, and this was the advent of it, and I didn't see it this way at first, but, you know, you get a friend list going, you'll hop on at the same times, you'll play, you know, you'll be going, slaying monsters, doing quests, all this and that. Well, he was like, what's your bot doing? And I was like, excuse me? He said, yeah, you know, I've done this a lot of times. Like, you'll write me, but that's my bot. He's farming. And I was like, what? And, like, he was like, well, you know, what's your email address? I'll send you over the information. I'll help you build a bot. And he was like, while you're at school or while you're at work, you could let your bot just run your game. And when you come back, you know, whatever. And you program it to, like, what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Stones of Jordan or, you know, whatever else, a specific armor or something that you're looking for. And you come back, holy crap, you found 3. I mean, because you tell the bot where to go, what to do, and it's just an endless loop. And that was back, you know, mm-hmm. early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. And then they have, like, all the, like, I know there's this one girl, I don't know her name, she's getting called out because for wall hacks. Because all the different cheating, like the aimbots and everything, it's just so... It's not cool to play with, but it's so cool to, like, see how it, like, happens. What am I trying to say? Don't do it, but it's cool to see the entrails of it, what you have to do in order to make it happen and just why. But, yeah.
Yeah. So I think the VR world has got to come a long way, and it's getting there quick.
Yes, they already have, like, I know in some centers... I watched a video today where this guy, he had this thing where you can actually, like, walk on, like, a treadmill, but it moved, stayed in the spot, but you could actually, like, walk on it, and it was connected to this thing. He dove into the water, and all of a sudden it picked him up, and he was swimming in the VR headset, like, swimming.
Oh, wow, and he's just kind of strapped,
yeah,
and he's just
floating
hanging,
in midair, just swimming. Yeah, and then there's another one, which I think is really fun. These people in VR, and they're going through, like, a zombie survival room, but, like, they're going through, like, a real room,
mm-hmm.
being chased by zombies, and it looks so fun.
Endless possibilities.
Right.
Anything else that we didn't cover as far as what you do with your art or anything that you wanted to cover? I think we covered it pretty good.
Yeah, we've covered it pretty well.
Of anything else to do?
Hmm?
Anything else to do?
Like
that you wanted to cover while we're here?
Not that I can think of.
Well, right on. We'll walk it out of the door. Just one more time, if people want to get see your work and see what you're up to, Allie L.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the green hair.
Yes.
All right. Well, Allie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're out of here.
Alone, drinking.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.